listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Thursday morning. That means it is time for Historically Speaking with our friends at Concordia Historical Institute, the Reverend Dr. Dan Harmelink. Good morning, Dr. Harmelink.
Good morning.
It's good to have you in studio. You brought along a guest today. Tell us about your guest.
Very special guest. This is Reverend Dr. Arden Albrecht. We were friends from way back in the when I was serving in Southern California. He's in the Holy City today, so we have a great opportunity to talk about Lutheran history, specifically the blessings through Rosa Young and this project that is now in the hands of people about her life for the Lord.
It is. I've had the privilege of learning a little bit about it, talking with Dr. Albrecht last year. And well, tell us a little bit about your background, Dr. Albrecht.
Well, when I was at the seminary at St. Louis, my goal was to become a teacher of New Testament Greek. That was my goal.
A noble task.
God vetoed that, sent me to Taiwan as a missionary. And I was to be an evangelistic missionary, which I was for a couple of years. And then he vetoed that, and he made me the head of the Taiwan Lutheran Hour, which later became called the China Lutheran Hour. And we did radio drama, Christian radio drama, in several Chinese dialects.
Wow.
And we...
For Taiwan, or did that go to the
Taiwan
mainland?
For Taiwan and for the mainland, yeah. We broadcast also to the mainland. And then finally we also added the Cantonese dialect, which we then sent to to Chinatown, San Francisco, and our Chinese pastors in Taiwan were so proud because now we were doing mission work in America.
Well, if anybody needs to be evangelized, it's the residents of San Francisco.
But then after a few years of that, furlough time came and I decided it was time for me to just to return to the States and take up a ministry here. And then God vetoed that. And
was that a culture change coming back to the United States?
It was a big culture change, huge culture change, because this was now in the late 60s. Mm-hmm. And so much had happened that I didn't quite recognize America. Mm. This was after 5 years being in Taiwan.
So welcome back. Right?
Yeah, welcome back.
It's amazing
back.
How much can change in 5 years in American culture. How different did it look? What things were different when you came back to American culture?
Well, what was considered taboos before we left in 1962 to go to Taiwan were now very acceptable things when we came back 5 years later because of the cultural revolution here in the States.
And the church was wrestling with all of that.
And the church was wrestling with it, yeah. Anyway, I went to Syracuse University then and got my master's in radio and television and went back to Taiwan Taiwan had gotten a television just a couple of years before. Mm. And we did a TV program there. And then I was called back to do This Is the Life here in the States when the pioneer head of This Is the Life, Dr. Herman Gockel, was retiring, so I took over for him.
Wow.
So some people will recognize This Is the Life, and then there are probably listeners who don't have any idea what that was. So, I mean, in many respects, that television show was groundbreaking.
It was groundbreaking, and it came about in kind of an unusual way because... you know, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod had been a pioneer in radio, Christian radio broadcasting with the Lutheran Hour and Walter A. Meyer. And it was first thought that that when television came, that we'd just take that Lutheran Hour program and make that into TV. But so our church body did some research, and they found that if they did a Christian drama program instead of a preaching program, they'd have a larger audience. And so they sent Herman Gockel, who was one of our finest writers, and they sent him to Hollywood. He never spoke of Los Angeles. He always went to Hollywood. He never went to Los Angeles. They sent him to a studio called Family Films, And he met with them and some of their professional script writers, and they came up with the idea of doing a television series based on an all-American family called the Fisher family. They didn't give it a German name. It wasn't a Schultz family, but it was a Fisher family. And
with a German spelling.
With it. And it was Grandpa Fisher then who was the bearer of the Christian message. And they, in 1951, they did three pilot episodes, which were received very, very well. And so then our church body decided to do a whole year's production. And they put it on the air. And in 1952, the Saturday Evening Post did a feature story calling it TV's Most Amazing Hit. Because it had a huge audience, far greater than any other religious show on the air. Mm-hmm. So they did that for 3 years, the Fisher family, and then decided to change to anthology drama, every episode being unrelated to the previous, mm-hmm. With only one continuing character, and that was a new character called Pastor Martin, who is now the mission the bearer of the gospel message in each of the shows. And they did that until 1971, when Pastor Dr. Gockel retired and I came on board from Taiwan, and Pastor Martin retired at the same time. So now we continue to do anthology drama, but without Pastor Martin.
How has television changed since then? Would that still work today?
You mean would the Fisher family still work today,
or the anthology drama?
Mm-hmm. You know, anthology drama has never been terribly popular here, mm-hmm. in the States. Very popular in England, but continuing characters always seem to grab a larger audience. Mm-hmm. But they're what the Lutheran Layman's League has decided to take some of the, what they call, This Is the Life classics, mm-hmm. and reissue them as DVDs, using the Luthenauer speaker, Reverend Gregory Seltz, doing an intro and then a conclusion, and their hope is possibly even to get some of those on some cable stations. Right. So that they have, so they're hoping that that possibly they can reintroduce it even in today's world. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's interesting. I mean, CHI has, I think, a complete collection of these on motion picture film. And now everything old is new again, and God's opening up some doors. But sometimes when you think of Christian TV, you think of kind of, you know, low quality, kind of schmaltzy. And this this was not that kind of production, right? Highest standards and,
right. Yes.
And grade A actors.
Yeah, we had a lot of well-known actors. Some of them were Oscar winners.
Wow.
We had Sissy Spacek, who became an Oscar winner. Mm-hmm. We had Dean Jagger, who won an Oscar for 12 O'Clock High, who did our show. We did it when he was already in his 70s. And he won an Emmy for the This Is the Life episode that he did. Actually, This Is the Life... the first Emmy that we won, first national Emmy, was in 1974 with a show called Gift of Tears, where we brought an old vaudeville clown out of retirement to play in that show. It won, and that show won three Emmys, actually, three national Emmys. Mm. And then we went on to win a total of eight Emmys over the time that I was producing it, yeah.
So how is your interaction with Hollywood? Usually you think Hollywood is anti-Christian, anti-tradition, and they're, you know, cutting edge and we have to do something shocking. And so how did that go? your interaction with the Hollywood types?
Okay, well, I suppose we probably didn't invite some of the most shocking Hollywood types to be on our show, but we had people who were not necessarily of our faith. Some of them, well, one of my favorite directors when I first came back from Taiwan and I started to choose directors was a Jewish director by the name of Corey Allen. And Dr. Gockel had used him for 8 years before I used him. And he had done about 50 This Is the Life episodes. A very devout Jewish person. But I remember one time we were doing, we always would rehearse the script. We spent a day rehearsing the script with the actors, and then we would spend several days shooting it. And we were rehearsing a script for This Is the Life, and when we got to the gospel message, Corey Allen was not at all happy with the way the actors were doing it, and he called the rehearsal to a close, and he said, You, pointing to the three actors, you are Roman Catholic, you're Episcopalian, you are Presbyterian. Don't you know what you're talking about? Don't you understand the power of this gospel message? And he said, here I am a Jew. He says, I'm a good Jew, but I've done This Is the Life for 8 years, and I consider myself a pretty good theologian. And I know that the atonement is the heart of the gospel message, and I know that it works. It works psychologically. People, you know, have guilt, and the gospel says that God sent his son to take away that guilt. Now let me hear you read that scene again. So that's the kind of people we associate with.
So you're witnessing not only to the audience, but also
to the crew.
To the actors and to the crew. And
that's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a joyful ministry. I enjoyed it. I was with it for 17 years. I finally left it in 1988 to take a call into a congregation, mm-hmm. my first congregation.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Well, we have just about a minute left. you have been working on a great project over the last 2 years, last couple of years, the first Rosa. With just about a minute left, What can we share with our listeners? I know that there are screenings of it going on around the country right now, right?
Yes, there are. I think there have been 50 or more mm-hmm. screenings. It's I think the DVD is going to be released to our congregations beginning in January. And so every congregation will have a copy. Remarkable woman who helped start 30 schools, Lutheran schools for mm-hmm. African Americans, and 35 chapels. Just an amazing woman.
Well, and eventually what resulted in our Concordia College in Alabama.
Alabama, exactly. Exactly. Wow. She was the inspiration for that also.
So ask your pastor about that or Google the first Rosa movie. Mm-hmm. Keep up to speed on that. It's a blessing to the church.
You can go to lcms.org/thefirstrosa. It's on there as well. Well, thank you both for being our guests this morning. Dr. Harmelink, thanks for being here for Historically Speaking.
It's been a pleasure.
And Dr. Arden Albrecht, thanks for being our guest this morning.
My pleasure.
Coming up in just a little bit, morning prayer right here on His Time.